we labor weekly to do our best to invite, to welcome people, and to see, Lord willing, one day new folks to come. But we need your prayers, and we need you to go out there with us to help us to keep reaching people for Jesus Christ. While we're being worked on ourselves, we know the Lord can still use us to help others grow through whatever they're going through. And that's the whole purpose of coming to church as a family, to get refreshed, to get renewed, to bear our burdens, and to come here for the Lord Jesus Christ. So with that said, let's go over and go over some quick announcements as we get started for today's service. Amen. And let's go ahead and look up to the screen if you can. Please join me as we just cover some announcements here before we get started with our service. We have updated our calendar, for those of you who know. So now you should be able to see, unless we state otherwise, for example, about a week or two in advance, if we're going to cancel a future service so we can go hang out with another church or a conference or just vacation time, we'll let you know. But generally now, the calendar should be updated. So what do we have coming up? Well, for next Saturday, again, you guys know I've been pushing this for a couple of weeks now. It's going to be very important. I am hoping and I'm praying that every single one of you comes and joins us for the Oceanside Parade Outreach. We're going to try to meet here at 7:30 in the morning. We're going to pray, go over a game plan, take our 5,000 tracts, and hopefully we get other volunteers from other churches to join us. And the city of Oceanside is going to have their parade, on Coast Highway. All of Coast Highway is shut down. And where we're going to start from is at the front of the library to Mosin. We're going to try to separate in groups, and we're going to try to start from each side. And then as each group takes one side of the street, we're going to start meeting in the middle. And then once we all have gathered together in the middle, then we'll all end up going back to church here and then ending that Saturday with lunch around 11 to 12 here, and then we'll call it a day. Amen. But please, church, if you can, join us for the soul winning outreach next Saturday. There's going to be thousands of people, and we want to tell them about Jesus Christ, but we need bodies. Amen. We can't do it by ourselves. Please, if you can, join us. 26th through the 29th, Brother Josh from El Cajon is going to have a special guest speaker, Dr. Sam Gibb. If you'd like to join us, you know that you're invited any of those nights. My wife and I do plan on going on the 26th. We may go Monday or Tuesday. We'll let you know if you want to join us, but of course, Wednesday we'll have our church. But I just want to let you guys know those are the upcoming announcements for what's taking place. Amen. And then, of course, on on the 3rd of July, we can have a potluck if you guys want. Of course, we sure miss those things. Amen. Okay, so you already know now the calendar, those ministry opportunities, soul winning Saturday. We had a great time door knocking yesterday. We started out Buddy Todd Park, so keep all those people in prayer. We had some really unique interactions with people in the park. We did a little freelancing, and we were praying for this gentleman named Jewel. So please keep that gentleman in prayer. So again, 11 to 12, please meet us here. We're going to go door knocking and then go straight downtown to the beach from about 12 to 1:30, give or take, as we continue to evangelize and reach our city. Please join us Saturdays. Every other Thursday outreach, you guys already know, downtown at the Sunset Market, Lord willing, we'll be out there this next coming Thursday. And then, of course, the last Friday of each month, we're going to go in front of the theater. If you can join us before discipleship class, we're going to meet here at the church house, 4:45, and just go out for an hour and come back for Bible study. Amen. Prayer tab, most important announcement we make here at church. If you need prayer, please submit that prayer request here, online, or if you come, hey, just raise your hand and say, "Brother, I need prayer. My wife, can you give me some more water, please?" And then we'll do our best to be in prayer with you and be in prayer for you. If you can do me a favor, church, and continue to pray for Sister Colleen. She is still sick. She texted me the other day that she went back to the hospital Friday, if I'm not mistaken, and she's taken some medications. I told her that we're here for her. If she needs us to help bring groceries or any type of physical sustenance, to please reach out to us. She appreciates that. And so please keep her in prayer. She's a little older, amen, and I know she gets a little bit more worried when she does get sick. So we sure miss her at church. We want to pray for her, amen. And last couple of announcements, live stream links, you guys already know. Podcast, it's a free app. You can download it. You can listen to our sermons there. Facebook, if you have one, subscribe, like, and share. YouTube, subscribe, like, and share. And then last but not least, if you're a member of this church, hope you are, please remain faithful in whatever you purpose in your heart to give financially for the work of service here. We have a box in the back, or you can do so online anytime. Amen. All right, church. Let's go ahead and get right back into our weekly service study. Would you do me a favor and turn your Bibles with me here to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Oh, I forgot one more announcement. Today, after church, if you can join us, my wife and I are planning on taking a church trip to the Friends in Chula Vista. We invited a couple of our members who will be attending. If you'd like to join us, that'd be a blessing. We're just going to leave around 3:30, 3:45. Get down there and enjoy just another great time of service, hanging out with our church family in Chula Vista. And that'll be the rest of our day plan. If you want to join us, just to let you know. Amen. All right. Other than that, everybody's weekend is going good. Everybody's weekend, you already know. Sister Gina, praise report. It's a little easier in the workplace now. We were praying for a situation with a certain individual, and she shared today that it's calmed down. So glory to God for that. I'm glad that Sister Gina is having a little bit easier time at work. Amen. That's a blessing. Amen. All right, church. Today is going to be part 8 of our basic Bible doctrines. We open up this series that we've been doing together, taking a break from a verse-by-verse study through the Bible to do a topical series on basic Bible doctrines, because we are approaching this study with the mindset of, I just got saved, what do I do next? And so as babes in the faith, if you will, what are some things that you should immediately start thinking about changing within your life? Remember, we started talking about Christian dress. We talked about that. We talked about Christian attitude, Christian speech. We talked about how we should communicate with each other, how we should treat each other. And we talked about Christian responsibilities last Sunday. We talked about for a little bit on the marriage, husbands, for example, wives. We talked about our responsibility to each other if you're married. We talked about responsibility for single men and women. And then we kind of left off a little bit about the Christian responsibility to assemble on the first day of the week to give financially what they purpose in their heart to God, which is obviously unto the local church. We talked about our responsibility as members one of another, the pastor to help you, you to help your pastor to fulfill the Great Commission. We talked about all that. Today, what we're going to talk about on our part 8 basic Bible doctrine, it has to do a little bit with Christian responsibility, but we are talking about this in the context of being a child of God. As a child of God, what are my responsibilities? How should I respond to the Bible when I am going through a difficult time in my life? How am I expected of God to work through a situation, a circumstance, dealing with people, people you may like, people you may not like, people that have hurt your feelings, people that may not have hurt your feelings, or a situation? It doesn't even have to be people. A circumstance, emotions within your life, perhaps sin. Today, we're going to talk about that from the perspective of being children of God. And yes, today's Father's Day. You know, we don't normally go off of those traditional calendar dates to make a message, but we will talk about God the Father. And even though some of us may not have had an earthly father in our life who was a good man, I'm going to raise my hand. You now, as a Christian, have a heavenly Father that expects for you to be his child. And he expects for you to be his child in a certain way, doing certain things, because he loves you, and he's given you these commandments to help you to be more like his son, Jesus. So today, that's going to be the direction. We're going to start here in Hebrews chapter 13. Responsibility, part 2, if you will. As children of God, how do we respond to those things? Hebrews chapter 13. Read with me, starting here in verse 1. We're going to read the verses, as you know, and then we'll open up with a word of prayer. Bible says here, let brotherly love continue. Go down to verse number 5. Let your conversation, that's another word for your conduct, be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Verse 6. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And one more before we open up with prayer. Come down here to verse number 16. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for allowing us to gather once again in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Today, Lord, I thank you for the members that came. I thank you for those that may come. And I just ask and pray that your Holy Spirit will help us now to focus, to meditate upon the Bible. Help us to put aside the distractions today, whether it's food, family, fellowship, whatever we can do after church. Help us to really listen to you as children of God and you as our Father. Regardless if we have an earthly father or not, regardless if he was a good man or not, today if we're a Christian, you are now our Father. Help us to learn how to be your children, how to be better children, godly children, holy children. Teach us now responsibilities of what you expect of us, Father. And we surrender this time to you now. It's in Jesus' name. What do we say? Amen. Verse number one, once again, look at the command here. Let brotherly love continue. There should not be a time and season in your life where you do not love brothers and sisters in Christ. There should not be a time in your life where you stop treating other Christians with love because of your feelings. Your Father in heaven expects for you to treat his children with love because that's how he treats them. That's how he treats you. That's how he treats me. There should be an ongoing, that is present tense, continual desire of love one for another. Verse 5, he says, let your conversation be without covetousness. Your conduct should not be guided by your feelings to desire certain things that other people have. We know what covetous means. It's not just desiring something you don't have, but it can also be idolatry, according to Colossians. The Lord God tells you in verse 5, be content with such things as you have. For he saith, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So as we move forward in the study today as children of God, who should be the one that completes all of your desires? It should be God. Who's the one that should be today that satisfies your emotions? It should be God. Who's the one today that promises to never leave you nor forsake you? That's God. All those attributes that we just talked about, man will never meet 100% all the time. Your husband will fail you. Your wife will fail you. Your parents will fail you. Your children will fail you. Your brothers and your sisters will fail you. Friends will fail you. Co-workers, they'll leave you. They'll forsake you. As soon as you cross that line, you get upset, you get mad, and all of a sudden, no more love. But look at verse number 6. There's somebody who can help you with that. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. We're going to talk about the Lord, your helper, who can help you to become a better child of God. That's going to be the direction of what we're going to discuss today. Amen. Do me a favor. Let's go now to Hebrews chapter 2. The Lord is your helper. The Lord is your helper. Hebrews 2. Turn your Bible with me now, church, to verse number 18. Bible says here, for in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, it's talking about Jesus now, he is able to succor them that are tempted. What does succor mean? It means to help. Your Bible just said that the one that you believe in, the Savior, Jesus Christ, he was tempted just like you when you were tempted, irregardless if you're a male or female today. He was tempted on not loving others just like you may be tempted today. He was tempted with desires, just like you and I have within our lusts, but he did not give in to any of those sinful desires because he was God. But he was tempted as a man. And the Bible says today that your helper can help you to do what? Resist the temptation. But you have to come to the helper. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Look at verse 15. Hebrews 4:15. The Bible says, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You have a Father in heaven who sent his Son Jesus Christ into this world to die in your place for your sins. While he lived as a man, he was tempted in all things like you today are tempted with, but without sin. He is your helper. He invites you to seek help from him. He wants you to find grace when those things come along your way. But you have to come to him as his child. And if you don't come to him as his child, no wonder why your life is not changing. No wonder why the lust within your body and the lust within your mind, you continue to do, or perhaps you maintain emotional burdens of sin like bitterness, pride, anger, wrath, malice, desires of the flesh you still give in to every once in a while, because you're failing to listen to your Father's command to come to him for help. Are you with me? Church, he is the helper. What I can't do for you, he can. What your husband can't do for you, he can. What your wife can't do for you, what your children can't do for you, what your family members can't do for you, your government, your culture, social media, your feelings, your Savior can help you with. This is the message that we preach and teach to them that are without, to the lost. When I go down there, street ministering, I tell them Jesus Christ can satisfy the need for your love that you seek in alcohol and drugs and sex and pornography and all the things that the unbelievers do. Jesus Christ is the only one who can set a man free and can fulfill a man from within with his spirit. How many of you today have believed and received him into your heart? Anybody? How many of you, after your salvation, still sought after this world's lies from above, whatever those things might be, those temporal pleasures that they've given you? Anybody still made mistakes by sinning every once in a while after you got saved? Okay. How many of you, after completing those things, receiving those things, whichever that might be for you, came back to him to ask him forgiveness? Anybody? You go back to the Lord and say, forgive me for what I just did. But how many have actually asked him to help you to stop? Not just forgive me for what I did, but Lord, can you forgive me and help me to change? Because I don't want to act like this anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. How many of you guys actually took the next step? How many of you have gotten personal with Jesus one-on-one? How many of you have ever spoken to him face-to-face, if you will, confessing to him those secret things that you haven't told anyone because you're fearful that people would judge you? You're fearful of your emotions by being more honest and transparent with people about how you feel. How many of you guys have just sought the Lord and just spent time with him one-on-one, humbling yourself, confessing to him so he can make you free from those sins, those bondages within your life, whether they're emotions of pride, as I expressed earlier, or actions? Friend, he alone is the only one who can help you with that today. My question is, would you please go to him today so that he can help you? For those struggling with pride today, having a problem getting along with others, for those struggling with secret sins today, not being as honest with others around you, for those of you who have bitterness today, perhaps a burden or a frustration because of unforgiveness, whoever you are here today assembled, let your pastor remind you in love of a truth. The master knows. The master cares. But the master expects for you to come to him so he can help you. Some of you, however, for the plain fact that sin dwells within your body, maybe a little weak, you won't come to him. Some of you will keep trying to maintain your own problems without the help of the Savior. And while you think you're okay because nothing isn't necessarily changing overnight within your house, for example, you still have a place to stay, you still got money, you still got food. You may not necessarily look at everything else around you and say, well, I'm still doing fine, even though I'm still carrying this within. Let me tell you something. That sin will continue to be a burden. It will get heavier, and it will get heavier over time if you won't submit to the helper. Turn your Bible now with me to Hebrews chapter number 12. Hebrews chapter number 12. This is what I call the outcome. Read with me here in verse number 1, Hebrews 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Some of you used to run track, praise God. Some of you, I've heard that you did some great sports like that a long time ago. I think it's safe to say that when you are getting ready for that race, competing with the other school, you don't necessarily put on a coat of armor, all right? You don't put a backpack on with stones and you're running because you're going to try to get first place. No, you try to run as light as you can. You get the best shoes you can that are lightweight. You got your little short shorts, your little tank top, and you try your best to get there with as much weightless items, if you will, to not hinder you from performing the best you can. You know what Jesus said there? Sin, it's a weight. You see, it's not an object. It's not my phone in my pocket. It's not my pants. It's not my dress. It's an invisible attribute in you that can become heavy and then heavier and then heavier if you don't put it off. Bible says in verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Before you start excusing yourself before me and saying, brother, you don't understand. Before you start telling me, pastor, let me just tell you real quick. This is why you don't get it real quick. I know somebody who does. I know somebody who knows how it feels. I know somebody who told me to tell you he was tempted like you, but he resisted. He wants to help you. Look at verse 3. I'm sorry, 2. Looking unto Jesus, verse 3, consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, he was surrounded by people just like you. He had family members just like you. He had an earthly father, he had an earthly mother just like you. Some of them may have treated him well. Some of them may have treated him horribly. He had friends that were there for him. He had friends that forsook him. He had friends that said, I'm going to die for you, Jesus. I got your back. Others said, give me 30 pieces of silver. I'll give them over to you right now. But you know what that Bible says? When you think about quitting on somebody, when you think about excusing yourself on why you should continue to treat that person like you do in your heart, because notice the sin where? In your mind. It's not your money. It's not your objects. It's something inside. That's why I'm telling you, church, it's an invisible weight. While you keep trying to justify within yourself why you can't, you know what the Lord told you? Yeah, but I did. I did it. So can you. But you know what you need to do, son? You know what you need to do, daughter? You need to look to me. I'll give you the strength to keep resisting that sin, that problem you got. I'll help you, but you got to come to me. You got to look to me. You haven't resisted, God said, unto blood. That's pretty hardcore. Look at me complaining over here. Look at me murmuring. I'm an American, y'all. I got a job. I got money. I got a house. I got a car. I got my wife. But then I complain and I murmur to God in heaven who died for sinners on that cross with my sins on him and your sins. And I say, Lord, but don't you know that brother, how much he hurt my feelings because, well, look at how he treats me now. Well, look at how that, you know what God just said? He just smacked me in life. He said, yeah, but son, you didn't resist into blood like my son did. Man, God, you're right. I didn't die on the cross for everybody's sin like your son did. Man, God, you're right. I'm not striving against sin like the Lord resisted to the point of death on that cross. And look at how he encourages us. Follow with me along now in verse number 5. Ye have forgotten, the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto who? Children. That's what we're talking about today. When we trusted Christ, we became a child of God, or children. He says, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. How many of you guys have ever been spanked growing up? Maybe disciplined? Mexicanos, they call it cachetado. You know, the Lord said, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him, for whom the Lord hateth, he chasteneth. Is that what your Bible says? Loveth. The Father will do that because he loves you. That's what it says. And scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, and are ye bastards and not sons. You know what God says? Clearly, parents discipline their children. He didn't say that all parents are going to do it the right way. He didn't say your dad was going to do it in a godly manner. He didn't say your mother was going to do it in a godly manner. He just said that's what parents do. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto who? The Father of spirits, and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure. Some of y'all got beat by your daddy, just like me, in front of the door. My neighbor heard it. Mr. Almanza, boom, wailed on me right there. For his own pleasure. Some of y'all weren't treated good by your earthly father. They just did it because it felt good. They didn't do it out of a righteous hope to get you to be more chaste and modest. No, they just did it whenever they felt like it. But you know what God said? When you became his son, when you became his daughter by trusting his son, Jesus Christ, he does it for your profit. So you can be a partaker of what? His holiness, because he loves you. But have you forgotten that? That's what it says, church. Look at verse number 5. Have you forgotten? Did you forget that you're a child of God and God is going to deal with you as a child? Did you forget that when you have problems within your life and you got sin in your heart, God knows it, and he will put something in your path, a person in your path on purpose to help you deal with that because he loves you? Do you consider that? Did you forget that? Verse number 11. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. It doesn't feel good, I know. Trust me. But grievous, it feels bad. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. When we allow God to work on our sin problem within our hearts by a circumstance he puts us through, people that he puts in our path, for example, when you allow that to exercise you out, work you out, stress you out, get you to the end of yourself. You know what God said? It's going to yield peace, the fruit of righteousness. It's going to help you to be more like Jesus. Verse 12, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. You know what God expects for you to do? After the end of that thing, the interaction with the person, the people from your past, son, you need to get up and you need to keep walking forward. Daughter, you need to get over the feelings, get a hold of your hands, get a hold of your body. You need to move on. You cannot keep dwelling on that thing. I'm trying to help you to get out of that, but you got to listen to me as your father and let me help you. That's what God's saying. When God convicts you and I of our sin, he's working on our problem because it's there. It's a weight. He knows it. He sees it. You keep trying to tell yourself it's not. Remember, it's not outwardly. Remember, we talked about that. It's not an object, but it's there. When God convicts us of our sin problem, perhaps he puts that person in your life. Perhaps he brings about that circumstance within your life. Perhaps he's doing that because he knows what you need and when you need it and by whom you need it through. You see, God knows some of us didn't have a good father growing up. He knows some of us probably grew up with a horrible drunk, an adulterer, a drunkard, an abuser. And perhaps because of that experience, it is difficult for you and I to submit to a man in general. But Christian, I love you. Let me remind you, and allow me to share with you an amazing truth about the God that you believe in. Numbers 23:19. You know what it says? God is not a man that he should lie. You can trust God. He is not going to disappoint you like your father did. He's not going to hurt you like your father did. He ain't going to beat on you. He ain't going to hurt you. He ain't going to go off committing adultery because he is not a man that he should lie. God is a good father. And he's calling you as his children to let him help you. You got to trust him. Psalms 27:10. Go there with me. We'll go together for this reason. Watch this. Psalm 27, verse number 10. One of my favorite verses in the Holy Bible. That Bible says here in Psalm 27:10, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Today, there are some of you who have not been letting God be a father to you. Perhaps it's because of your past. Perhaps it's your lack of trust. Perhaps it's your emotions. Perhaps it's sin in you lying to you, deceiving you, because your feelings, again, the weight on the inside, like bitterness, telling you you don't have to do that, what the Father asks of you. Perhaps you think because he's not physically here, it's difficult. How can I really just talk to something I don't see and be real and vulnerable? But that's what he wants. God is real. His presence is real. He seeks to be your father. He wants to teach you how to act as a child. He wants to teach you how to dress as his child. He wants to teach you how to talk to others, treat others. He wants to tell you about the horrible things that sin can do within your life. He wants to tell you about Satan and how he's trying to destroy you. He wants to warn you about the temptations that come your way. But you close your ears and you shut your heart from fully receiving his correction. Romans chapter 8, let's go there. Romans 8. I don't mean to be heavy today, church, with this message, but I know that God loves you enough to tell you the truth, tell me the truth, and as children, these are responsibilities that he expects us of because he loves us. He wants us to be more like his son, Jesus. He wants us to be holier. He wants us to be more loving and more compassionate and more forgiving. Will you let him? Romans 8, verse 15. Read with me, church. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of what? Adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. How many of you guys growing up perhaps ever heard in your folklore, I know a lot of the Mexican culture, when your family used to hang out with another family at a party, the mother would comment and say, wow, look at that boy. He's a mocoso. He's just a problem child, just like his father. Remember, you kind of hear that. Oh, just like his dad. He's just like his dad. It's like they say there's a cultural curse, if you will, because he's just following in the footsteps of his father. When you got born again, church, you know what God said? He didn't give you a spirit that you already had from your daddy. That fear, mm-mm. The bondage, mm-mm. He adopted you, which tells me what? Learning how to be a child of God, it's not going to come natural. It's supernatural. I have to learn how to be this child of God. I have to learn how to act as a child of God. I got to be taught now by God, my Father in heaven. It's a spiritual adoption. Some of you know my story. You already know how my upbringing. You guys know that I was physically adopted at birth. I didn't know until 18 or so and changed my life. Backslid on the Lord a little bit. Kind of blamed God, you know, just like we all do. Why me, God? The dad who raised me abused me growing up. The mother, she did her best to keep the lights on. And God bless her soul. A lot of things happened. Doesn't matter. Found out that I was adopted. I'm like, whoa. But then as months go on by, church, me not talking to my father in heaven. All those chapters in this book, Brother Giovanni, why is it that all of a sudden I open up one day after 8 months or so to Romans 8:15, I learned, wait a second, I'm adopted by God. Whoa! Wait, you're adopted by God. All Christians, we've been adopted by God. I'm not the only one. Thank you, Lord God, for the Bible. Why? That's my Father caring for me when my father on earth forsook me. That's my Father caring for me when my mother forsook me. And that's God wanting to care for you when you don't think anybody else wants to. Amen. 1 John 2. Children, that's who we are now as Christians. We have a Heavenly Father. Man, He loves you. Oh, man, He loves you so much. But this book here, this is how He would parent you. If He were here, He gave you a pastor to help you. I may be young, but don't look to my youth. I love you dearly. Look, we're all here together. We're a family. 1 John 2:1. Let's read. My little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. You know what that means? Even though you're still going to make mistakes, your Father in heaven, who adopted you, He's ready to forgive you because His Son, He represents you. Every time you mess up on God, and Satan, according to the Bible in Revelation, he accuses you before God right now. Before you complain about the person on earth that you can rightfully accuse, you already have somebody that's pointing the finger before God right now and saying, don't you know that Eileen is doing this right now, God? Don't you know Keena's doing this? Giovanni's doing this? Dina's doing this? Don't you know Carlos? But there's a mediator. There's a lawyer. His name's Jesus. You know, He died for you. You know, He loved you. You know, His blood was shed. You know what that Savior does before the Father? Father, but I forgave Him for that. Father, I paid for that. So as children, what should we do now? We should work on no longer sinning against God. Chapter 2, verse 12, go down here with me. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you. For whose namesake? His namesake. Aren't you glad for that? 1 John 3, one chapter to the right. Go with me now to verse number 10. 1 John 3:10. The Bible says here, in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whoa! There are children of the devil? Yes. There are children of God? Yes. Before you gave your life to Christ, you know whose daddy you were? Or who your daddy was? That was Satan. It doesn't matter if you're black. It doesn't matter if you're Mexicano. It doesn't matter if you're Chinese. When you sin against God, you became a servant of sin, and your daddy, by virtue of sin, was Satan. And he wasn't a good father to you. He let you enjoy all the drugs and alcohol, the pornography, the sin. He didn't tell you about the hurt that was going to cause you. He didn't tell you the hurt about relationships and fornication and drinking and all that. He didn't tell you. He just said, no, do what you want. I promise it's going to feel good. That's the lie of Daddy Satan. The Bible says, whosoever doeth righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Wow. Not only is God expecting now His children to live righteously, you know, right living, but you know what He said? Loving your brother, loving your sister. That's what God, your Father, expects for you to do. But Father, you don't understand, God. I know they're saved. I know they're Christian, but have you forgotten? Hebrews chapter 12 says, have you forgotten about Jesus? You forget what my Son did for you? You know how He strove against blood and going to a cross? Yeah, have you forgotten that? And you're coming to me and telling me you can't love that person? You can't forgive that person? Why are you acting like your old daddy? Why are you trying to carry on the virtues from your old daddy? That's not me. Verse 18, 1 John 3:18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. You know what makes you look like a Christian and a child of God before other people? Is when you don't just profess, I believe in God. No, I believe, and brother, let me show you by my action. If brother Giovanni is going through life, I'm not just going to text him like, hey, bro, I'm just praying for you. Hope everything works out. No. Hey, brother, I'm praying for you. I'm here for you. You call me anytime. I'll go to your place. I'll give you food. I'll help you with this. Why? Because as a child of God, what is my responsibility? I'm not just here to say, I love you, man. No, I love you. I'm ready to serve you. There's an action behind it. That's what demonstrates to the world that they're sincere. There's something in them that changed. Look at how they keep acting to me. Look at how they keep treating me. They're treating me good. They're trying to do something right for me. That's how a child of God acts. So we should act. Next chapter, 1 John 4, verse 4. 1 John 4, 4. Ye are of God, little children, and overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Who's your source of strength today? It shouldn't be your husband. It shouldn't be your wife. It shouldn't be your mommy. It shouldn't be your daddy. It shouldn't be your friends. It should be him in you. Christ in you. He's the source. He's the power. He's the love. Chapter 5, 1 John 5. Verse number 2 through 3. Bible says, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. This is the love of God, verse 3 says, that we keep his commandments and his commandments are not grievous. Like I told you last Friday, the way that you measure your faith is this. You have a problem with a brother or sister? It's because you have a problem loving God. Take care of this right here before you and God, and you're not going to have no problem treating the brother or sister right. You're not going to have a problem on making excuses on why you can't help each other because you're loving God. It starts right here. Me and God, me and Jesus, Lord, help me with this infirmity. Help me with my pride, Lord. Help me with my bitterness. I want to treat that person right, Jesus. I really do want to show him that I'm a solid Christian, Lord. But God, I need more love for you, Lord. Would you help me? Church, the more you draw closer to God, man, he's going to draw near to you. He's going to help you. Third John, that's the third book of John's epistles. 3 John, maybe in your Bible, you'll see it there. Look at verse number 4. Here's what a great apostle said when he heard about children being faithful to the Father. He says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. You know what makes me happy is when I see Christians loving each other. It makes me happy to see a married couple working on their problems because they're loving each other. It makes me happy to see you come to church. It makes me happy to see you making an effort to do something for the Lord. If you see somebody trying to make an effort to do something for the Lord a little bit better, a little bit more right, I should rejoice. I should rejoice in that. They no longer have to be here, for example. But if they're still serving God, you know what I should do? I should rejoice. Why? Because they're walking in the truth. I shouldn't have a problem with those individuals if I love God. I'm going to love them because I'm loving God first. And I pray for all my friends who have come and gone within my life, if you will. And my wife can only tell you from folks in my past. But I look on that Facebook and I'm like, wow, they're still serving God. I'm so thankful that they're still being solid. Amen. Children, do you love your Heavenly Father? Then obey him. Trust him. Let him correct you. Let him chastise you. Because he wants you to look more like his son, Jesus, not your pastor, not your family, but Jesus. It's his character, church. It's his virtue that God the Father wants you to be more like and to receive more, loving others, forgiving others, etc., etc. Let's go back to Hebrews 12. What are we talking about, church? Responsibilities as children of God. How do we work on it? Going to the helper. Not after I fail, right before I fail, and right when I'm about to fail. Just me and Jesus. Lord, I'm about to do it. I'm about to give into this sin, Lord. I don't want to do it. Would you help me? Yes, he will help you. But you got to trust him. Hebrews 12, verse 10. Bible says, for they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure. Again, the earthly daddy. But he for our profit, that's the heavenly father, that we might be partakers of what? His holiness. No chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them, look at church, which are exercised thereby. Go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. I'm going to be silly for a second. Okay, bear with me. We talked about this, me and Sister Eileen, the other day. She's going to know exactly what I'm talking about. How many of you guys have ever played a video game in your entire life? Anybody? Okay. How many of you guys ever played a board game? Any game at all? There are levels of succession until you complete the game or you pass the game. Are you with me? In this walk with God, there are levels of maturity. And as you are going through each level, there's a test. There's a trial. There's a circumstance, if you will. You try to complete that thing 50%, you're not going to pass the first level. You go through that level one, 75%, you're not going to pass to the next level. When God brings something in your life, people in your life, to work on you, you need to let him have the full trial. You need to pass the entire circumstance so you can be exercised by it and you can grow in whatever the Lord is trying to teach you at that moment. Look at James 1 with me, church, verse number 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. I need to work on that. My wife can tell you right now, brother, as soon as I went through some things with another brother, I didn't count it a joy. Amen. I complained. I murmured. I said, God, why? And this and that and this. I didn't say, God, thank you for that guy trying to do something in my life and correct me and make me feel all bad. Man, God, I'm just so thankful. How many of you guys just all of a sudden start thanking God for the bad in your life? Amen. No, we don't normally do that. But you know what God says? Count it a joy. Verse 3, knowing this, that the trying of your husband's faith, is that what it says? Let me read that again. That the trying of your wife's faith, no, let's read that one more time. The trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. You know what the Lord said? When that circumstance happens, that person comes back into your life, the things take place, you need to let it have its course. Don't quit 50% in. Don't quit 25% in. Don't excuse yourself because God is trying your faith because he knows that you need that thing worked out. Whether it's patience, whether it's love. Brother Giovanni talking about slow to anger. We've been talking about that. The compassion, whatever it might be for any one of us. I'm just speaking generally. God said, you need to let it have its entire course. So what happens when you don't? Well, that sin, that weight, you're going to keep carrying it. It's going to keep getting heavier, and it's going to keep getting heavier. And the Holy Spirit, as he intercedes before the Father, he's going to have to tell him, Father, you're going to have to make it more difficult over here next time. She didn't give it this time. He didn't give it this time. Oh, a little bit more heart. And before you know it, you're almost out of church. Why? Because God is trying to work on something, but you gave up. That's how much God loves you. He ain't doing it because he's hating you. He's trying to do something with your life. No, he loves you, he said. He wants you to partake in his holiness. That's what that is supposed to accomplish within your life, to be more like Christ. The trying of your faith is what that means. The proving of your faith. Watch this. The testing of your profession. Some of you have told somebody, yeah, I believe in Jesus. I'm a Christian. But God says, you sure don't look like that in your marriage. You sure don't treat that person like you claim to be a Christian with. You sure don't act like that in the workplace. But you're over here telling somebody, yeah, yo creo, yo soy cristiano. You sure don't treat your family like that. You know why? He calls you out and he does that with your life because he loves you, Hebrews 12 says. He will chastise you by purposefully putting you in a situation, either people or things or difficulties, to get you to exercise your profession to strengthen you so you can lay aside those sinful burdens, whatever that weight is, so you can be more like his son in your life. Christian, that's why when you find yourself in a situation, run to God. first. Don't call me. Don't say husband. Don't say wife. Don't say children. Don't go to Google. Don't go to Facebook. Don't go to Instagram and all that Pinterest stuff. That ain't going to help you out. You need to go to God. You need to run to Jesus. You need to look to Jesus and say, Lord, I know your Bible just taught me. You're my helper. Lord, Brother Carlos reminded me, you were tempted like me. Here's a temptation. Lord, can you help me? Lord, I'm about to treat that person bad, and I don't want to. I know you don't want me to, so you told me to come to you to find help, to find grace. Lord, here I am. That's exactly what he wants you to do. He wants to help you. He wants you to go to the throne of his grace, and he wants you to say, God, what are you trying to teach me through this? What are some sins within my life that you are trying to help me to overcome? Because God, I trust you enough to do it. Would you help me, Lord? Hebrews 12. Go back there. Hebrews 12. Please join me once again. 12 through 13. Christian responsibility for children as we grow, as we mature. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, the feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. So you learned the lesson. You knew what God was trying to teach you. You received the lesson that God, your Father, was trying to help you with to be more like his Son within your life. You no longer should stay then in the spiritual state you were at before, a day ago, 5 weeks ago. That person, now you should purposefully start being kind to them, even though they're not going to be kind to you, because you learned the lesson. That circumstance, that situation, that family member, whatever it might be, now get these hands ready. Get your legs walking. You keep moving forward with the strength that you learn now, and you keep exercising the fruit that the Lord gave you. All that to say is this. Look at verse 14. Follow peace with some men. Is that what your Bible says? What does it say, Sister Eileen? All men. And holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Look at verse 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Whoa! That's crazy. All that just so God can teach me to be at peace with people. All that just for God to tell me if I want to see him, I want to be approved of him in heaven, holiness being worked out within my life, because that's the heart of the Father. You know what Jesus said? I don't know the verse right now, brother, but you know what he said? Be ye kind, as your heavenly Father is kind. Because he sends that rain on the just and on the unjust. Remember he said that? We sure have no excuse, man. God, help us just to be at peace with people. Before we close, Hebrews 13. Go back now to that chapter. How many of you guys believe God has your best of interest in mind? How many of you guys believe that? Okay. How many of you guys now have learned a little bit today about you can trust him as a father, even though your earthly father may not have been trustable? Anybody? So now verse 1, here's what your dad in heaven says. Let brotherly love continue. I know that not all of my children are going to get along down there, but you need to do your best. Don't excuse yourself because of the failures of them. I expect you, son, I expect your daughter to make an effort to be more like my son, even though they're not going to. You, me, individually. Verse 6 through 9, Hebrews 13. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Is he your helper today? Who's going to start working on going to the helper? Anybody here? I know I am. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. He says in verse number 7, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you their feelings. Is that what it says? No, let's read that again. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you what? The word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Right now, You are listening and looking at a 29-year-old Mexicano piece of dirt with a conscience who's been saved just like you, redeemed by the blood just like you, with infirmities. But you know what I'm reminding you of in love? I'm reminding you of our Father's word. I'm bringing to you the Father's word every Sunday. I'm bringing to you the Father's word every Wednesday. I'm bringing to you the Father's word every Friday. And whenever you want to come over to my house, you invite us to your house, I'll talk to you about the Father's word. You know what your Father commanded you as his children? To treat me? He says, remember. Consider what? My faith and the end of my conversation. What is my conduct like today, brother, sister? Well, you can ask me and I'll tell you. You can ask my wife, sister, has he been a faithful, pure husband? Oh, yeah. Has she been? Oh, yeah. We're not here established by God to have dominion over you. No. We're here to help you. A little bit further down, verse number 16. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Well, now you know that. Hebrews 11 told you, without faith, it's what? Impossible. But now he tells you to take that step of faith, put the action to it now. Look at verse number 17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy, not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience and all things willing to what? Live honestly. What is our responsibility as children? It's to submit to him by responding in obedience to his word. John chapter 14, as we're coming to a close, look at what that Bible says together, church, in verse number 21. We read this last Friday. Can I get a volunteer to read this before we close? Anybody? John 14, 21. Thank you, brother. You have the ability. You have his commandments. We all have the Bible. It's right here. But who has it? Who keeps it? And who receives it? You know what Jesus said? That's the child that really loves my Father. And that child that loves my Father, you know what Jesus said? My Father is going to love you. My Father, he's going to help you. Why? Because you love him. You love him because you're keeping his commandments. Today, friend, I just want to end our service. This is our responsibility as children of God. Your Father seeks to bless you. He seeks to help you to be more like his Son. The Holy Spirit will tell him the truth and beseech him to permit you to go through things he knows you need and Christian responsibility, etc. And in the end of the day, how and what he expects us to walk out in, it's all found right here. And God gave me to you to help you. And I need you to help me. Ephesians 5:1, and then we'll close in prayer. Be therefore followers of God as dear children. Amen. Let's go ahead and close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for being a good dad. I thank you for loving me enough to tell me the truth. I thank you for loving me enough to work on my sin and my problems by permitting me to go through things in life, to work out and to exercise this flesh, to rid me of the weight of sins that I was carrying so I could look more like your Son, Jesus. I thank you, Father, that you didn't expect for me to do it by myself. I thank you, Father, that you told me who to go to help me, and that's Jesus. And I thank you, Father, that you've given me the victory now over a lot of sins that I used to do within my life that you've forgiven me from. I have strength over it now. Thank you. I pray for every single church member here today, Father, that they would do the same, that they would go to you because they can trust you as a good father, that they can trust your son, Jesus Christ, as the invisible man, even though they don't see him, but he's a man that can be trusted. And I pray that all the members here today, God, would come to you so you could help them with their problems and their life and their griefs and their sorrows and their pride from loving others, all that we learned today. God, would you help them to obey what they learned today? And Father, even though we may not have had good earthly fathers, would you remind us that you, as our Heavenly Father, will take us up. You'll adopt us. You'll give us all the love we need that we never got down here. You'll give us all the peace and all the joy and all the assurance from what we never got down here. Would you help us to keep trusting you and your voice through the Word of God? And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, church. Love you. God bless you. Thank you for being my brother and sister. And I'm here to help you. Amen. All right, now, close a little early today. Feel free to join us, like I said, in about 30 to 45 minutes. We're going to get ourselves going to Chula Vista. I pray that you have a good rest of your day. Amen. Lord bless. Amen.